going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Ole Miss, Walter Nolan as a prospect. Nolan, though, has character questions to work through.
Yeah, so he had, I would argue this, he had some motivation. The character is like motor and drive. But like at Ole Miss last year, like he put most of those to rest. Like that guy showed up throughout injury, whatnot, and I don't know. I have pretty...
Nolan's a freak, by the way.
He's awesome. I have pretty good faith that he's going to be good.
But that's
not the question that we're betting on.
It feels a little bit like Jalen Carter, where it was like Jalen Carter dropped a little bit and then went to the Eagles, and now he's an absolute freakazoid.
Yeah, at least though, like with Jalen Carter, like you could at least make the argument. This guy was involved in a wreck that got people killed.
True.
Like, Nolan's was like, how motivated is he? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so Walter Nolan, if you look at Daniel Jeremiah's most recent big board, he has him down at 28. I think, so here's my, and we could maybe talk about this on the other side of the break. I'm not convinced the Patriots are taking Will Campbell at 4.
I'll say this, I think a lot of people aren't.
But if you look at the mock drafts, it's like, yeah, but they need a tackle. And it's like, okay, and maybe this is me playing head games with myself. I was never really, even though I bet it, I was never really buying Ashton Gentry to the Raiders. And I think the closer we get to Thursday, the draft isn't usually this easy. And what I mean by that is right now it seems pretty much consensus, it'll go Cam Ward to Tennessee 1. I think that's a lock. That's done. Travis Hunter seems to be destined for Cleveland. The Giants, unless you've heard otherwise, are going to go Abdul Carter at 3. And then it's like, well, the Patriots just need a tackle. But are they going to reach on a guy that most evaluators say, yeah, he's good, but he's not like, you know, Joe Alt at left tackle. I guess Joe Alt plays right tackle in LA, but he wasn't the consensus one. We had Tony Pauline on our show last night who's covered the draft forever. And he wrote an article today about it, and I tweeted it out. He said it on our show. He said that he's heard that the Patriots are going to throw a bit of a shocker out there at number 4. And he thinks it could be Jalen Walker.
We shall see. All right, we've had a little bit of news from the world of college sports, particularly Arkansas. A couple of stories that I want to get to with the Hogs when we come back after the break. But I also want to remind you that Zen Sports and their app is getting a major upgrade soon. They'll be launching the new state-of-the-art VIP Play app later this month. You'll be able to bet on more than 200 sports leagues and parlay nearly every bet offered. I'll also have my own same-game parlays featured, as will many more of your favorite sports talk hosts throughout the state. You can head on over to zensports.com/VIP play to learn more and to claim an early welcome bonus offer on VIP play when it launches in Tennessee later this month. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. When we come back, let's get into the list. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Robert Irwin Jewelers is the number one place to buy engagement rings. I'm speaking from experience, and the primary reason they're one of the number one spots to buy from buy your engagement ring from is you get more choices. They have the largest collection of natural and lab-grown diamonds in all shapes and sizes. You can also even make a custom-made engagement ring. If you can dream it, Robert Irwin Jewelers can make it come to life. They can even make your engagement ring from something as simple as a picture, a drawing, or even an idea that you have in your mind. And you can do so with a peace of mind with a meant-to-be guarantee. That means that designing a custom-made engagement ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers is risk-free because you have a 365-day, no-questions-asked return policy. At Robert Irwin Jewelers, you can have it your way. That's the R-I-J way. Every designer diamond engagement ring mounting at Robert Irwin Jewelers is fully customizable to accommodate the center diamond size and shape of your choice. Plus, you can choose from white, yellow, rose gold, or a platinum. They also have free ring sizing for life. Don't forget about the free jewelry spa service as well. Great financing options at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You can ask her now and pay later with financing like 24 months deferred interest, or you can take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. A trusted name for over four decades here in the Memphis area, Robert Irwin Jewelers makes they're making memories for you with treasured pieces of jewelry. Robert Irwin Jewelers, five locations, Perkins Extended in East Memphis, Bartlett Town Center, South Lake Center in South Haven, as well as two locations in Little Rock. Bigger, brighter diamonds, all at better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers. You can also shop online at rijewelers.com. Let's get into the list. College football trades. All right, so I guess we have our first real college football trade, and it includes, I think now we can say it's a three-teamer. I don't know if Arkansas is going to get a player to be named later, but also Hunter Yurecek, the athletic director, posted this on social media a couple of hours ago. Quote, I've spoken with the leadership team at Arkansas Edge, I believe that is their collective, and expressed my support in their pursuit to enforce their rights under any agreement violated by our student athletes moving forward. We appreciate Edge's investment in our student athletes. We're still doing that term. And acknowledge the enforcement of these agreements is vital in our new world of college athletics. We look forward to continued dialogue with all parties in resolving these matters. So for those that are saying what the heck is going on, well, we have a trade of Nico Ima-Aliava for Joey Aguilar. Joey left App State and went to UCLA. He is now going to go to Tennessee for what appears to be, what I've seen, around $1.2 million. And also included in this deal, and one of the hangups that people thought when Nico to UCLA was first hypothesized, was Nico's younger brother was originally committed to UCLA, but then on signing day, flipped to Arkansas. The stated purpose of him flipping to Arkansas was to be closer to his brother. Tim, I don't know how familiar you are with Mid-South geography. Fayetteville and Knoxville are about 11 hours apart at best driving.
Sure, you know.
So that's a hop, skip, and a jump. So Nico's younger brother also leaves Arkansas, and he is headed to UCLA. Nico's younger brother presumably decided to have a change of heart, not to be closer to his younger brother or to his older brother, but because of the amount of money that had been promised to him from Arkansas. Arkansas is now doing what I believe would be the first of its kind, in which it appears they are going to be trying to enforce a buyout from Nico's younger brother. And I know a lot of these contracts do have the, if you don't play this, but basically, to me, what I take away from this story is this might be the pushback to the player empowerment era in terms of college athletics.
I think we're going to get to a point where there needs to be buyouts. And, you know, there's been a bunch of, and I think Van Pelt was talking about this, I think he did it on SportsCenter, where you're seeing players go to essentially a school for one semester, not play a game, and then go into the portal again. And look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know all the ins and outs of how these payments go down, because it's
my understanding is you get basically a signing bonus, and then basically you're getting, I don't know if it's game checks, but monthly checks, but basically you're going to get a good chunk of money up front, and then it's for every month, and you get like the, they would call it a stipend, but really it's a salary. Madden Imaliava is the younger brother.
So it does feel like we're heading down the road of contracts that can be, you know, legitimized, because at this point it does feel like the players and their representation have all the power, and the schools, and I know there's plenty of people out there, and I'm not trying to defend the schools. I know how much money they make from television and all of that. But there needs to be some sort of policing.
Or protection.
Because here's the thing. When a coach leaves X university, there's a buyout, right? That university gets paid a certain amount of money to get the player, or excuse me, to get the coach that they want. It's not ideal. You'd prefer to keep the coach, but at least there is that. So, look, I have long been in favor of NIL. I didn't really want them to go full on salary because I didn't know how sustainable that would be with Title IX and all of that. Because at the end of the day, you know, men's and women's soccer players can't be making $150,000 each, because that would bankrupt the athletic department. But the football players, they can make a certain amount of money. And it seems like that's where we're headed. And basketball players. I know, obviously, P.J. Haggerty is certainly a big topic of discussion right now in the college basketball world, as he is looking to get, what, north of $4 million. So, I mean, that's the thing. And that's where the NCAA, in classic fashion, when this first started, was like, yeah, you could do it. We're out. Like, we're not going to police anything.
We're going to talk like we are, but we're not. Yeah.
But if you want to self-impose a sanction, we're going to step in and make those sanctions worse, because that's what we do.
And then we're going to write in some prompts to ChatGPT to issue press releases. I mean, here's what I think is fascinating about this. If I actually think it's possible, like, Team Imaliava might be the worst business people I've ever seen.
Because if he had left during the spring, if he had left for the initial portal, he probably would have got around his asking price. I think Miami was interested.
I know this. He wouldn't have taken a pay cut.
Yep.
And I know this. His brother wouldn't be on the hook for back pay. I mean, when it's all said and done, you can talk me into, they lost $1 million cash by trying to game the system.
Yeah. Because up until this point, it's felt like at least all the notable players, I mean, he was a starting quarterback for a playoff team. All the notable players could do this and be like, I'm out unless you give me more money. And if you don't give me more money, someone will step up. And it kind of, I mean, it did blow up in their face. Look, he's still going to make over $1 million, and he's going to start for a Power 5 conference or Power 4 conference team, but Tennessee was in the playoff last year. UCLA didn't make a bowl game, and they're a fan base that doesn't really exist. Now he's back in Southern California, so maybe he'll enjoy that, but it did blow up in their face, and you're right. I mean, this was a game of poker that they lost. They assumed that they would just get a great opportunity, and that's just not ultimately what's going to play out here. You know, I do find it interesting, and, you know, the Nico case, quarterbacks are a little bit different, but, like, when you look at some of the elite programs, there's not a lot of defections. Like, it feels like the Ohio States, the Georgias, the Notre Dames, they're pretty much keeping everybody they want.
I would argue, so I was, Cobb and I were talking about this last week, because one thing that has stood out to me the last 2 years is, for the most part, it doesn't bat a thousand, but it's the majority. Even the schools that aren't Ohio State, Notre Dame, USC, Georgia, they're largely keeping the players they want to keep. And I throw the caveat, with the exception of quarterbacks, because quarterbacks, if they're going to go down the depth chart, like, they want to go play. And you can't, if you're a backup quarterback, you're not playing. If you're the second receiver, you're still playing. So quarterback seems to be a little bit of the exception to the rule. But college football right now, it seems like most of the players that they want to retain, they're able to do so. What has struck me the last couple of weeks is, in college basketball, it feels kind of like an exception. When you hear Braden Smith staying at Purdue, you're like, whoa! Because it seems like basketball has had more freedom of movement. And I don't know if that's a time frame thing, and I don't know if this is going to be the norm where football programs keep their guys, basketball won't. My suspicion is basketball is going to figure out a way to keep their guys, but there's also the caveat of, well, there's 336 college basketball programs versus 136 football programs. I think you'll still see, obviously, the guys from lower levels wanting to move up and get paydays, but I'm not sure you're going to see the amount of guys that were on great teams that played a lot that they're just in the portal. Like, I think you'll see, I think it's going to stabilize a little bit to where college basketball at the higher end is going to be able to keep their guys.
Yeah, I think so. And if you look at, you know, 247 Sports right now, the number one player they ranked in the portal was Lendenborg, the kid from UAB.
Yeah, Axel, yep.
So he makes sense to leave, and he's going to Michigan. Number two is PJ Haggerty. We'll see ultimately. I don't know if you know more about that than I do.
Well, this is what I thought was interesting. I mentioned Arkansas for a reason. Joe Tipton from On3 has said Arkansas freshman guard Boogie Flan is entering the transfer portal, according to sources. So Boogie is entering a little bit later in the program, or a little bit later in the portal calendar.
He's also in the draft too, right?
I believe so. I believe that he's... But this is where I'm wondering, one of the teams that I'd been told that is kicking the tires on PJ Haggerty is Arkansas. And I was wondering if, hey, Boogie, you know, if you want to get more money, maybe it's best to go elsewhere, or maybe you think about the draft, because we're trying to make room for PJ Haggerty. That was my first instinct. That's just wild speculation.
Boogie did declare for the 2025 draft. Current projections set him at early second, late first type range. But he also entered with a do not contact flag, and that's from Rothstein. Does make it a little bit more potentially interesting, because, I mean, if he comes out and it's the same thing that we're talking with Haggerty.
Yeah, with PJ.
If he goes through this process and they say, hey, man, you're probably just going to be a second-round pick, he could certainly end up going somewhere else in college, playing well, being a first-rounder, and making more money this year out of it.
I mean, I think it seems likely at this point. Although, Tim, this is something that I don't know if you've picked up on. The numbers that we'd been hearing with college basketball were astronomical. There have been some guys that have moved, but what has struck me is, like, Michigan kind of took care of it early. And, like, you know, you see St. John's taking North Carolina's guard, and we've seen a few guys, but it feels like, to me, when you take a step back, the portal has not moved as quickly as I think people thought it was going to post Final Four. And maybe there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, I think people were rushing to beat the House settlement, and I think people started to realize, all right, the House settlement's not going to get done in a week, and that seems to still be moving a little bit slowly. And then I also wondered if there was not even from, like, a collusion standpoint, but some of these numbers were so high that you can't pay all of these guys, and some were finding homes, but a lot of guys are just kind of left, like, scourging the market. And so I wonder if a lot of what we're seeing is guys are still waiting on a number, and it makes sense with college basketball. Like, they don't really have much of a timeline. You can get there in the summer and you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I was wondering if it's, you know, it's a negotiation where guys are holding out for more money and they're not getting it right now.
Yeah, I mean, we saw today Rodney Rice go to USC, reportedly $3 million going his way. So, you know, that's kind of where we're at. And, you know, to your point about a Haggerty, with the reports being that he wants $4 million, maybe there is, so you just wait a little bit. And it's different than football. Football, you really kind of figure out your portal more often than not with the winter window. And the spring window, maybe it's a little, you know, icing on the cake or
it feels to me it's more plugging in hole. It's like you got through spring, you saw where your holes are. We've got to go like last minute plug in holes. That seems to me what it is more than anything.
Or you look at a team, you know, a program like, I know Georgia added a couple guys in this window. I think they added like an Army transfer. You know, they're like, oh, a nice little addition. But you look at the portal rankings outside of Nico, most of these guys were all winter transfers. You know, Carson Beck, John Mateer, Deuce Robinson, et cetera, goes down the list, Zachariah Branch. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, basketball is a little bit different. Obviously, one piece can make or break your season, unlike football, outside of the quarterback position. But yeah, I don't know where we go ultimately with the portal. But I do think the Madden Iamaleava situation could be maybe part of the norm, which is you might start to see asking for a little bit of a buyback.
I'm very curious to see how this goes, because I'm wondering, like, if our courts going, we've seen schools and courts or the NCAA and players go to the courts and they haven't had success. Have we had a collective go to court?
I don't think so.
Because even, I'm trying to think, Jaden Rashada was not, I don't believe they named the collective, right, in the Florida lawsuit. I think it was the coaches.
Yeah.
Was also, there anything legal that came out of the Matthew Sluka situation?
No.
I don't
Did think, they just...
Well, Sluka claimed that he had a...
He just cut his losses and left.
Well, Sluka's story fell apart immediately when someone goes, did you get it in writing?
He was like,
Yeah. Yeah.
You talk about another situation of a camp messing up.
Yeah.
Saluka's camp, we talked about it on the show, and everybody nationally took it and ran with it. And I was like, whoa. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. And then UNLV was like, good, leave. We're good. It was kind of, to a lesser extent, the Nico situation, where Saluka was like, I want more money. They're like, nah, we're good. We'll just go with the backup who's better than you.
Yeah, who we were split on at camp anyway. The other thing I was thinking about, though, the underrated part of this story, guys, if Joey Aguilar is getting, I believe, reportedly like $1.2 million, that is, whoever his agent is, on one end of the spectrum is Nico's dad, on the other end of the spectrum is whoever Joey Aguilar's agent is. Because, Tim, he got his coach fired at App State. Like, you and I watch a decent amount of Fun Belt. He's fine. But, I mean, do you really think that, like, are they really going to, like, if Tennessee's starting with him, I got real concerns.
Which, once again, and we did this, was it last week? If you look at the transfer quarterbacks this year, it's wildly underwhelming.
All right, let's think of the big names. So, Beck goes to Miami.
And that's the biggest one.
But I was trying to think of, like, who are former starters? Like, guys.
John Mateer going to Oklahoma from Washington State.
And then Arnold goes to Auburn.
Yep. Steve Angeli now reportedly going to Syracuse, but he wasn't even a starter at Notre Dame. He got told, hey, man, you're not going to be top two in the depth chart. You should leave. He said, okay. So he's going to go to Syracuse. Miller Moss is going to Louisville. He lost his job. Gio Lopez, that's kind of intriguing. He goes from South Alabama to UNC. But like,
Gio is in that category of...
Caden Salter's going to Colorado. I think, by the way, did you see what Deion said after their spring game?
On what topic?
Regarding what they need in the portal?
No, I did not. All I was too busy. I was too busy reading all the takes about Shador getting his number retired.
Okay, so Coach Prime, after their portal, you're probably going to see that portal jumping in the next few days, says he wants to add the following: defensive tackle, linebacker, safety, two corners, wide receiver, two running backs, offensive guard, tight end, offensive tackle, two centers.
Okay, what's their win total?
Not low enough.
I mean, the other,
there are a handful of other starters that went, but none of them really inspire much. I mean, you've had Wegman go.
Wegman went to Houston, correct?
Yep. Calzada.
There was a lot of.
Calzada's alive. I didn't know this.
Yeah, he went to Kentucky.
Well, first off, I didn't know Calzada, A, was still playing football, and B, had eligibility left.
I think the eligibility part there is the better question.
Mikey Keene went to
Michigan,
but he might not start. Bryce Underwood is probably, I don't know if he'll start right away, but probably will be the guy.
Castellanos went to Florida State.
Darian Mensah, Tulane to Duke. He'll probably be pretty interesting. But, like, it's wild how underwhelming. Preston Stone, SMU to Northwestern. But all these guys.
Well, like, Preston lost his job.
Preston lost his job. Steve Angeli didn't win the job. Caden Salter, okay, he leaves.
He's leaving from Liberty to Colorado, yeah.
I mean, that's it, man. John Mateer is pretty interesting because he goes to Oklahoma, but. You know, the most interesting movement, because think about last year. Dylan Gabriel goes to Oregon. Will Howard goes to Ohio State. Riley Leonard goes to Notre Dame. Like, you saw Power Four program quarterbacks go to another Power Four program, and that's just not the case. Texas, same guy. LSU, same guy. Penn State, same guy. Ohio State, new quarterback, but... on the roster. Clemson, same guy. Oregon was a transfer, but was on the roster last year. Georgia, apparently they're going with Gunnar Stockton, right?
I mean, that's what all the reports are. I mean, that's the irony to me is that, I mean, I know.
I mean, Alabama.
I don't
know if
Carson.
They could have happily gone into the, they have Ty Simpson. They could have went into the portal, but they were like, nah, we'll roll with what we got.
I think they went into the portal to get Kalen's, the backup that he had at Washington behind Penix.
So it's just, you know, this
he,
year.
Like, what I'm saying is he went to get depth in the portal. He didn't right. get. But, like, my thing is,
Jackson Arnold will be good.
That's my take. I think I am not as convinced that Oklahoma upgraded at quarterback, but I think they decided they were out of the Jackson Arnold business, which is fine. You can do that. Because I honestly think the same. I think what's true is I think Georgia decided they wanted to be out of the Carson Beck business.
Oh, Fernando Mendoza. That's a
and
power
Fernando
forward.
Went where? Cal to where?
Indiana.
I actually kind of have some Mendoza stock.
You want a fun one for eligibility questions? Tyler Van Dyke going to SMU.
He's alive?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're going to play Jennings. That one seems obvious. I don't know. I think Tennessee could wind up being a bigger loser in this poker game than we think. Joey Aguilar was barely average in the Sun Belt.
I thought they would poke the tires on Angeli.
I think they probably did poke the tires. It seems to me, maybe this is Tennessee's view. We're going to take an extra $800,000 and we're going to beef up around. And then we're going to have Aguilar be a placeholder, a pretty expensive one. And then we're going to turn it over to the young guys.
Oh, man, I totally forgot about this one. Malik Murphy, you know where he's at?
So Malik was at Duke as the backup. Right. Like he was like their...
He was a starter.
Starter. Malik.
But wasn't good enough to keep the job because they went out and...
Yeah, they got Mensa.
Got an upgrade.
No, I do not remember where Malik
was. Oregon State. Get to see some Malik Murphy on the CW this fall, boys and girls.
Pac-12 fever, catch it. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk some playoffs tonight. More action tonight. We'll talk about it next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, we got three NBA games tonight. We got our first NBA TV game, and I know everyone was complaining about last night. Denver and the Clippers are going to be on NBA TV. I believe game three will be on NBA TV. I have heroically decided to volunteer. The Grizzlies will play the Thunder on NBA TV. They can have the spot. I know that...
I was a little surprised to see that the Grizzlies didn't get the NBA TV game, to be honest, tonight.
I think it's timing. I don't know. I was a little...
They didn't want a 6 p.m. Central start in Oklahoma City?
So Indiana's that weird one where half the year they're
Indiana's
Eastern time.
Eastern. No, they're Eastern the whole year.
No, but they don't, when daylight savings, they don't do daylight savings time. They're one of those weird states.
I'm pretty sure Indiana.
I thought it was them in Arizona.
I know there are portions of it, but I'm pretty sure my sister who lives in Indianapolis is Eastern time zone all year. Because I remember being in Indianapolis last year on Memorial Day weekend and texting my wife a picture of my son playing in the yard. And she's like, is that right now? I'm like, yeah. She's like, it's 9:30. Like,
well,
yeah,
that was, we were watching Mania this weekend and my wife's like, how is it still light there? I was like, babe, it's 2 hours behind us. Like, been to Vegas many times. Like,
Did you see the uproar today that the Rose Bowl is going to start at 4 o'clock Eastern?
Yeah. Thoughts and prayers to all of them. Also, I guess congratulations to us. They figured it out. So I didn't know. Was it announced that the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl are always just going to be quarterfinals? Because it looked like to me what they're doing is the Rose and the Sugar are keeping their spot and they're flipping the Fiesta. And so Peach, the Fiesta Bowl and the Peach are now going to be the semis. Is that right?
Yep. So last year it was Cotton and Orange. This year will be Fiesta and Peach. I don't know for sure. I think the Rose Bowl was like, we'll just be a quarterfinal. We want to be on New Year's Day. I don't know for sure about the Sugar.
So the Sugar Bowl allowed the Rose Bowl to take all the bullets about they won't move. The Sugar Bowl did the same thing.
Sugar Bowl. Yeah. I think I have somewhere out there in the radio world, I have a rant on the Sugar Bowl being like, you're the Sugar Bowl. No one knows that you play exclusively on New Year's night.
I will say this. It's a Southern thing. Because forever, the Sugar Bowl was like, you'd rather win the Sugar Bowl than win the Super Bowl. It's a sub. That's an SEC thing. Because it's always been the SEC's champion until, you know, then fourth place teams started going.
So this year on New Year's Day, it'll be, I'm doing this in Eastern, so your will be an hour earlier, obviously. Orange Bowl noon. Last year it was 1. Rose Bowl 4 Eastern. Last year it was 5.
Are these all going to be on TNT?
No, these will all be on ESPN. Okay. Oh, no, so remember, it was the first
round. Oh, it was the first round. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. ESPN, ABC did the whole day. So we're on Orange 2, Rose.
Sugar.
There's only 3 games?
On New Year's Day, yeah.
So what's the fourth quarterfinal?
Cotton Bowl on New Year's Eve.
That game will have 7 viewers. Because you know that's going to be the fourth top seed, that's who's getting that game. Although I guess if Texas were to win, I mean, probably they'd want to play there, right? I guess.
Yeah.
I guess it's all dependent on that. All right, but we got 3 tonight. We got Milwaukee and Indiana. Dame is going to play tonight. Line opened at 6. I'm seeing 4 currently.
Yep.
nothing's happening on TNT at 6:30. And
Shaq
then
taking a poop then, or no? Is that later?
That was unreal. And not only that, Shaq ran off to take a dump, and they killed a guy that wasn't dead.
Oh, they did? I missed
that. Yeah, they had the old apology. And then later tonight, we got the original Lakers hosting or taking on the Lakers. So we got Minnesota at L.A. So my couple of thoughts initially, as you've always pointed out, there's always the zigzag theory. And the zigzag theory would have worked last night pretty well.
Where I was on the Clippers last night, and it wasn't easy.
It wasn't easy. I just have my Clippers future bet. I will say this. My gut tells me the Grizzlies might have the what do you make of this 10-point loss?
I could see that. So
now, by the way, that would be the closest. I believe that'd be the closest Grizzlies Thunder game of the year.
So it's worth noting. We had Johnny Avello on in hour one. He's from DraftKings Sportsbook over at VSiN.com, the company I work for. We have the DraftKings betting splits. Bucks Pacers right now, 50-50 bets. 50% on the Bucks, 50% on the Pacers, slightly more money on the Bucks. T-Wolves Lakers, 51-49 in favor of the T-Wolves. This is point spread. Thunder Grizzlies, 68% of bets on the Thunder.
What about money?
73%.
I mean, I will say
I'm not laying 14.5. I'm not doing it.
I'm not laying 14.5. There's also the Ja in game two historically has been very good. I think he averages like 39 points. I just kind of think like they were bad. I don't know if they were. They're not 51 points bad, but like that's the other thing. Tim, a 31 improvement would be getting beat by 20.
Their closest game this year was 13, by the way.
So 13. They've had one game that would stay inside the number.
The others were all.
I mean, the average, they're now 5-0, and I mean, obviously the 51-point game inflates it, but like before that, the average.
My bad. It was 13-17, and then 21-24.
Yeah, I think it was 18.5 or 19 points was the average margin of victory.
Now, it is worth noting, Circa Sports, which is known to be more of a sharper book, 80% of bets on the Thunder, 59% of money on the Grizzlies.
I would think sharps would actually take the Grizzlies tonight because I would think the train of thought would be what you and I always talk about. How can you take the Grizzlies? Exactly.
Yep.
With that being said, I will not be taking the Grizzlies. I will not be taking the Thunder, but I will not be taking the Grizzlies. That would be the one I'm most tempted to take. Tim, I don't think the Lakers are that good.
I don't think they are. I also don't think Minnesota's as good as they looked.
What scares me about that is Minnesota's shot, I think, 50% from three.
Now, on the flip side, Kevin Smith tweeted this out. The Timberwolves shot 42 three-pointers in game one. Of the 42 three-point attempts, 27 were classified as wide open. 15 were classified as open.
Yeah.
Zero were classified as coming against tight or very tight defense. So it wasn't like they were making
they were
shots out of their rear end. It was open look after open look.
They were getting quality looks. What would honestly scare me a little bit on that one is if Minnesota thinks they went to LA, they've already gotten one, job's over.
I think the Lakers win. I would not really be racing to lay 5.5. I'll say this. I think it's a little bit of an overreaction to the Dame news to make this only a 4-point spread.
Yeah, my instinct was
I kind of think the Pacers they could sweep this series. Maybe it's gentlemen's sweep. I think the Pacers win tonight.
I don't really have a problem with that take. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next. Right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, we got to go to Tom Thibodeau, who basically decided to use last night's press conference as an opportunity to manipulate the refs. If Cunningham's driving and then there's marginal contact, he's getting to the line. then Jalen deserves to be getting to the line. It's really that simple. I don't know how you felt watching that Knicks-Detroit game. I did not feel like in the fourth quarter the Pistons were getting the favorable whistle.
No, I would agree with that 100%.
I just hate when free throw disparity gets used as, see, the game's not fair. It's like, guys, they were settling for jump shots. The other team was just going right in the paint. All right, my man, we will talk to you again later this week.
See you, bud.
That is Tim Murray of VSiN. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.